Precious tritium is the fuel that makes this podcast go.
There's only 25 pounds of it on the whole planet.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Brad, do you ever find that you do things better while perform better when you're under the influence of alcohol?
Mate, constantly. Like, I genuinely fuck up in life usually and I'm very clumsy, but I either just sort of mosey on through because I'm drunk or somehow it counterbalances my regular clumsiness. Like, the other day I had a very stressful day at work. So I actually come home and finish off my bottle of JD. I must have had, no word of a lie, I must have had 4 quadruple JD and Cokes. And I'm telling you now, I was not shy with the JD. And me just basically saying I fancy unwinding. And what's this new game that's came out on PlayStation Plus? Oh, it's Modern Warfare. Mate, I ended up carrying my team. Now imagine how embarrassing you'd be with a negative 5 KD, knowing that the geezer that's fucking hoisting the flag is completely rat-arsed.
Completely catatonic. Just,
mate, just slurring up and a mic, man. Just fucking AIV and shit.
So I guess the swinging through Spider-Man cocktail officially now is a triple shot of anything into any mixer.
As long as it's served in a tumbler.
A Spider-Man tumbler, preferably. This is Swinging Through Spider-Man. If you haven't already guessed, I'm James, that's Brad. Each week.
I would very much like to put the poll out to the geezers. If Swinging Through Spider-Man was a cocktail, what would it be?
That's good. Yeah, that's good. So this is a podcast where me, James, and Brad, you over there, read through a Spider-Man comic each week. It's in chronological order, I think. For the most part, we've fucking bounced around, haven't we, loads? We've had the annuals all over the place. But the main issue, The Amazing Spider-Man, issue by issue, we're at 57 now. We've been reading through them from the start. We don't know anything about these. So each one is a new... The delights unfold each time. It's all new. It's all brand new. And we're really enjoying it.
Enough said.
So issue 57, Brad, what happened last time?
Last time we was faced with the mighty Mysterio, who sort of we just spoke about this just off air, saying how when you think about, what is his name, Quentin Blake? No, that's an illustrator, isn't it?
Quentin Beck.
Quentin Beck. When you think about his character, he's just a film nerd that just sort of wanted to get recognition without actually putting in the effort. So, the voices that we make for him in his canon, we think that he's just, the ultimate dickhead. The ultimate just annoyance.
When you made the joke about Quentin Blake, when you fucked up, basically, and said Quentin Blake, I was going to instantly go for it. And my improv skills are blessed here, I think. I was going to go for an incredible deep cut, a Quentin Blake deep cut. And I think that would be too far into my childhood. That would be too far into English childhood to ever return from. We wouldn't have returned. But I was going to do the Mysterio voice and do a Quentin Blake joke, and I was like, fuck, no.
No, don't. Too cryptic, man.
It's there, but it's just, you can't keep doing it. It can't just be constant jokes, can it? There is serious business here, because Spider-Man, left off in the last issue, practically homeless because he doesn't know who he is. His memory loss, basically. He doesn't know who he is, doesn't know what he is, doesn't know why he's doing what he's doing, doesn't know what's happened and why. He is completely blank.
Completely. The only thing that he does know is he's got a moral sense of goodness in him.
That's it. Well, he doesn't really know that. He just guesses.
It's just so funny thinking about him lifting the crates and stuff for Doc Ock. It's just why, yes, boss, I'll go carry these over here.
So imagine when I think this is issue 56, what we're talking about, the last one. Imagine if he got roped into working at an Amazon Prime warehouse.
He has to scan all those parcels in time.
Well, son, we see how good you can carry boxes. Amazon needs a man like you to deliver parcels within hours to a place if you have Prime membership. That's all you can get these days.
Let's dive in.
So issue 57 is called The Coming of Kazar. This is where my comic book knowledge kicks in, because Kazar, there's two Kazars, right? And Kazar goes way back. Kazar is like the comic book version of Tarzan from the 30s. Then Marvel kind of just inherited him. So there's two of them.
Okay, this isn't uncommon. It's sort of like the way how DC...
Human Torch and that?
Oh,
Human Torch. There was a Human Torch before the Human Torch. There was like an original one, like with Namor, an original one. And then Marvel's one came after, even though they're both... one of them eventually became Marvel. It's not complicated. It's just they're not the same, but they are.
Oh, okay. So they're totally different. So, because what I was about to say was, it's kind of like the way how DC adopted the Watchmen.
Sort of, because that was made under Vertigo, which is a DC kind of branch.
Ah, okay.
So you could just fold that branch up, whereas I'm not really sure about Kazar. But anyway, the focus of this issue is the coming of Kazar. Where we begin is with a hungry, cold, starving Spider-Man praying on a rooftop gathering, hoping that some food might fall his way.
Just like every dog begging for scraps.
So he can't remember who he is, and he's starving, and all he knows is that people don't like him much.
Well, that makes sense. I guess like all he'd need to do is just see anyone reading the Bugle about.
So he's starving. He's on the side of this building. He waits until they all turn around, slings his web, gets a sandwich, balls it up, and just starts nomming on it. He's absolutely starving, mate.
he's doing the old Aladdin.
A person catches it. He actually sees the sandwich go up in the air. He's like, "What? What? It's flying away!" And everyone else says, "Are you sure you haven't been drinking too much, mate?" Again, Lester for fuck. Always in fucking Lester.
Lester's like, "This has got nothing to do with my alcoholism."
His wife just starts crying. "Not again. We've been doing much therapy, Lester."
I don't know. These guys seem a little bit high class, man, having like a terrace rooftop garden party with the cucumber sandwiches and that.
But no, Spider-Man's hanging on the wall, nomming on this sandwich, just saying my compliments to the chef. I don't know who the fuck I am, though, and I'm hungry.
I just fucking love this sandwich. This is like, looks deep into the camera, into the panel camera. It's just like, "Subway, eat fresh."
Well, he's really not enjoying himself. He's had the sandwich.
Yeah, I wouldn't enjoy that sandwich. Probably still covered in web.
You know, in the worst moments of your life and you have food, you don't really notice the food.
Nah, it just tastes like wet mush.
Speaking of wet, his luck is going to get a lot worse. He's on a rooftop. He knows he has to stick to the roofs because he knows people don't like him from the Bugle stuff and these police encounters and the Colonel Jameson stuff and the Doc Ock stuff. He knows that he's not really welcome. So he hides up on a rooftop and it just starts pissing down with rain.
Oh, poor Petey, man.
But that's a really depressing
panel.
That's
so sad. He's just crawled up into a ball. Oh.
If you think that is sad, please hold on. Spider-Man, he knows he can't even have his mask off, so he's got to keep his mask on the whole time. And because it's raining, he needs to go indoors, so he swings past Grand Central. And he thinks, "Oh, I can go in there and hide from the rain." And he's swinging through. He crawls on top of a train terminal sign and falls asleep.
Oh, mate. Nah.
That is so sad.
Homeless Peter Parker, man. It's so sad. Oh, I just want to cuddle him.
It is so fucking grim.
He literally just crawled into a ball, man.
This is like very meth of Spider-Man. He's stolen sandwiches and he's sprinted off. He's fell asleep in the rain and then he's finally curled up in the train station.
In the train station. Shivering.
And like most meth runaways, there is someone on the other end. In this case, it's Aunt May, who cannot sleep because obviously Peter Parker hasn't been in contact since his disappearance. She doesn't know what to do. She tries to get up and manage the strength to call Harry Osborn, who's Pete's roommate, to find out where he is. Why aren't people calling me? She passes out because, of course, she does.
The stresses get too much to her. To be fair, I'm surprised you can sleep a wink anyway because no one's filled that fucking hole in the wall yet.
There's a breeze coming through.
Every Tom, Dick and Harry could just walk through. I tell you what, if that was in the UK, you'd have about 10 Jehovah's Witnesses just walking through being like, yo, have you heard about this?
No, if that was in the UK, it'd be one of those weird like neighbourhood solidarity things where everyone comes together to chip in and doesn't speak to them for the rest of the time. Just goes, yeah, we fixed the wall. See ya. That's it. It'd be on
DIY SOS. There's Nick Knowles just there like, yeah, we got Billy in, and he's just there fucking rattling away in a corner. Oh, God.
DIY SOS, everyone. Aunt May's got one, but no, she's got actual worse problems because she's collapsed and might die. So that hole in the wall isn't a problem anymore, really.
Bitch is constantly hanging in the thread, man.
Well, speaking of hanging by a thread, mate, Colonel John Jameson is being held for questioning by the city council after the Doc Ock raid.
How come to question him?
Because why didn't he bring in Spider-Man with Doc Ock?
He slipped away.
Because he did. They did have Spider-Man in the site and he did order them to stand down.
Yeah, and Spider-Man didn't even take it like that second to think about it.
He was gone. And then when they went, are we going to clip his fucking wings? He said no.
It's just like that one sniper in the bushes that had literally been like, he's been Nam. And he didn't get to see any action. Like, he trained his whole life, just like trained to be a killing machine. And then, literally, as he was about to be deployed, there was just like, yeah, no more Nam. Nam is bad. And he's just like, but my training. And he was so ready to kill something.
But then, back at the questioning, Captain Stacy, who of course is Gwen Stacy's dad, leaps to John Jameson's defense and says, the jury's still out on Spider-Man. We don't know what the fuck he was doing. We can't say he's bad. And then Jameson gets released. I'm just like, fuck off.
His track record definitely says he's bad.
Of course, waiting outside the city council is J. Jonah Jameson, Colonel Jameson's father, and also the bloke who runs the Daily Bugle, who wanted his son to just fucking dob Spider-Man in it for once and just go, yeah, he's a criminal. He's this, he's that, and just be done with him. So J. Jonah Jameson actually isn't happy with his son.
What's JJ's beef, man? Like, Spider-Man has saved his life on numerous occasions.
It has been explained multiple times in the comic, but every time it's been explained, I understand it less.
It makes less sense.
Because I believe it was, I want to be a good person, but I'm really a bad person, and Spider-Man is a good person.
And therefore I hate him. There's no link.
But then at the start, he was like one of those people who looks at wrestling and goes, if kids do that, they might break their spine, therefore it's bad. And that was it.
Yeah, but it's got that sign on the front of it telling kids not to try at home.
Spider-Man doesn't have the sign, though.
Spider-Man's also got spider powers. I can't jump off of a wall because I can't stick to the bastard.
Well, since Captain Stacy and Colonel Jameson aren't going to deal with Spider-Man, J. Jonah Jameson swears to God that he'll find someone to deal with this fucking Spider-Man problem.
Oh, not again.
Enter Kazar, bro. I don't know what the fuck. This really weirded me out, this panel.
Yeah, it is a juxtaposition, isn't it?
There's a lot of information thrown at you. So what we learn in this panel, right? We see Kazar.
That is so his voice.
So I thought he's going to be a dumb jungle man, isn't he? He's just going to be like fucking Tarzan.
Yeah, crazy,
all he can do, he can just speak like lion, and that's it. And that's not a real language. Lion is a real language.
He literally looks like Flash Gordon.
He honestly looks like he's part-time beach boy.
Yeah, definitely.
But what we learn in this panel, there's just one fucking panel, is that Kazar, Lord of the Jungle, was called Lord Plunder, and now he's come to take up his inheritance and live in the United States, and also he's allowed to bring his fucking saber-toothed tiger, Zabubra, into the fucking country.
Did you just call him Zabubra? Like, bruh?
Yeah. Kazar won't be consulting this without his lawyer, bruh.
Like, you know, underneath those fucking, what's it called, the cravat, he's got, like, fucking those beach shells on the necklace. What are they called? Castor shells.
Trademark, bruh. That's a Kazar trademark.
Yeah, I just got this sick tat, bruh. It's a yin yang symbol because, you know, you can't have calm without storm.
You can't have the car without the Zabra. Well, he was lost as a baby in the savage land. He's now returned to inherit his wealthy inheritance, and he's going to live in New York with his fucking
mate. Daughter. You know, he walks like Vince McMahon as well.
He's just come off a fucking jet. I don't know what the chartered flights are to the savage land.
Are we not going to fucking? Are we just glossing over the fact that saber-toothed tigers are extinct as well?
It's a savage land, man. Anything happens there, there's fucking dinosaurs there, mate. I don't even go there. Craven the Hunter wants to get some shit. He needs to go there instead of New York City. I don't know why he's come to New York anyway. If it's just Spider-Man, there's fucking saber-tooths over there.
Yeah, like, there must be some next-level shit in savage land. If, like, you've got Black Panther chilling out in Wakanda, you've got Doctor Strange going through all these different dimensions, and then for some reason in New York, you have about 10,000 fucking weirdos running around in Lycra. Like, there must be something else to hunt in the Savage Lands.
What? I'm just thinking, what about when Kazar meets the fucking Black Panther? There's going to be a very, very uncomfortable discussion there about cultural appropriation. This geezer don't know shit. He was just holidaying in the fucking savage land. Yeah, you grew up there and a fucking saber-toothed tiger told you how to speak, but you ended up with a wealthy inheritance. You don't know no fucking jungle. He doesn't know, does he? He's just chatting shit. Got his pet fucking saber-tooth. Fuck him.
Like, you know, Kazar's the kind of geezer that reaches out for a fist bump from T'Challa, and he's just like, it just gives him the look. You know, that look that's just like, it's not for you.
It's just the voice. A Kazar, bro. You fucking tie-dye t-shirts and everything.
These are my people, man.
Kazar is fed up of the publicity he's receiving, and he retires to his hotel room, not before he takes a taxi ride with the fucking saber-tooth.
God, man. You're messing with my vibe.
Have you seen the saber-tooth in the taxi, though?
It's so fucking good.
And then, because he's fed up with the press, the TV, all the attention, he gets to the apartment room, closes the door. First fucking thing he does is rip his shirt off.
I mean, I can't really blame him.
And it's just, you can sense the internal agony. He's like, oh, I can move, I can breathe. Kazar's free. And then fucking J. Jonah Jameson knocks on the door.
It reminds me of that Fairly Godparents episode, right, with that fucking little King Arthur kid. And he's just like, I can see. I can fight. He rips off his shirt and he's like, rippling abs. Like long, flowing blonde hair.
So after Kazar's happy because he has the freedom of his fucking apartment room and rips his clothes off, J. Jonah Jameson knocks on the door, sensing that Kazar is the type of bloke you can take down a Spider-Man. Jameson opens the door. The fucking saber-toothed tiger answers the door. He jumps him.
See, yeah, I taught him this sick trick, bruh. Whenever he hears the doorbell go, he just goes and kind of gets it. It's really, down really to, cool.
I didn't tell. Sorry, I didn't say that, man.
Not chill.
This is a no violence zone. Jameson comes in because I was all a bit pissy with him because he didn't want to be disturbed. But Jameson has an interesting proposition. Kazar, can you help me end the reign of the deadly, powerful villain, the Amazing Spider-Man?
You know what? At first, I wasn't going to listen to you, but then I looked at you and I saw your aura. It's actually very beautiful.
What birthstone is that? And Kazar thinks he can do that, so he sets off with his powerful sense of smell to hunt down the Amazing Spider-Man, who is still sleeping in Grand Central Station.
Right. I know. It's so fucked. I know we do take the piss out of the canon, and we like usually go like 100% off course, but this is like 1,000% off course. just to really like let anyone who's not reading along actually know what this character's like. He's actually very much like 100% serious with everything he says. Like everything is like to the point. But his long flowing locks and rippling abs tells me otherwise.
He just wants to take his shirt off and breathe. And that's what he's done. He's took his shirt off and now he has a chance to help out the citizens of New York and be a hero and hunt down Spider-Man. So he does.
Work for that inheritance.
Meanwhile, a depressed Harry Osborn is slowly searching his apartment for signs of his missing flatmate, Peter Parker, and he's actually shocked to discover a spider tracer gadget in Pete's room. And it goes to that shocked thing, you know, the shock marks in the panel.
Nanny!
And leads you to think that he's going to say Peter Parker is Spider-Man, but he jumps to the logical conclusion that Spider-Man has in fact kidnapped Peter Parker.
To be fair, it's that sort of like Clark Kent, Superman sort of vibe, because it's like Clark Kent's such a bumbling fool that there is no possible way that he could be the super agile, super cool Superman. So it's like whenever any inkling comes into anyone's view of possibly having Peter under the mask, it's like, no, that it couldn't possibly be Peter. not a single shred of evidence in anything that he's done tells me he's this kind of upright, selfless, you know, heroic man.
Not at all. But I'm shouting out for Harry Osborn here. I do like the fact that he's actually tried to trace Peter.
Yeah, he's the only fucker that has.
And he's actually looking in the right places as well.
Yeah, like an actual normal person.
And it's kind of logical that he would think Spider-Man has kidnapped Peter Parker. I thought he was dumb when I was reading it. But I was like, no, that he could think that.
I don't know, man, because at this point in time, it's been established between Peter's friends and, you know, any of his work colleagues that Peter and Spider-Man have worked closely together.
There'll have to be some backtracking somewhere, but for the main part, I think he's, at least he's tried. But we need to catch up with Spider-Man, who has been sleeping the night in Grand Central Station. New York, of course.
See, I feel as though that clock in the middle of Grand Central Station would actually bong on every hour.
I don't know, because there is a bit when the bonging is too much. Like overnight.
Like, is that an actual thing?
I think so. I think because Big Ben can't go every hour, can it? Like after 9. So like, come on.
Yeah, but that's like right in the middle of the city. Like
Grand Central's still pretty in the middle.
Yeah, but it's inside.
It's still fucking loud noise though, isn't it? Well, New York's loud. I guess. I don't know.
Oh, no. People would leave that to...
No one hesitates to tell us when we're wrong. I'm certain this won't be different.
I do enjoy being corrected.
I don't care. I'll put it out there, thank you, but... We are 57 episodes beyond even giving a fuck.
I was about to say, we relish in the fact that we've done everything fucking wrong. We've built a whole brand around it.
If a clock doesn't ring in New York, couldn't give a shit. Couldn't give a shit. But Spider-Man actually wakes up in Grand Central, and man, that must be a hell of a hangover. That he must feel rough as fuck.
Like, nothing's coming back to him at this point, like, at all.
No.
That's so rough. I do feel sorry for him. I couldn't imagine the steps that I would take if I didn't know who I was. Like, but I'd have like a wallet on me with my address on there. I'd have
that's the thing. Phone. You can get back into society. Spider-Man has been beaten. He can't get any food. He doesn't know what his name is. All he knows is that his name is he's called Spider-Man and he wears a mask. He's starving. He must think of shit. I don't want to know about the toilet situation either.
You know he's just got that like day old sweat crust going on.
You know he's had a shit on top of that terminal as well. You know he's done it in the corner. He can't even wipe his ass.
Oh, mate.
I'm talking about the raw morning sweat as well. The crust around his mouth. It's, you know, eyelids stuck together. It's actually...
Do you reckon he's a dribbler? Do you reckon he dribbles when he sleeps?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good people that dribble when they sleep, and like me.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not afraid to admit that, but like, yeah. Imagine in the mask.
it's all right if it gets, you know, you got pillow protectors and stuff at home, you can clean that up. When it's against your mask, against your face, that's a rough place to be. You know,
you're just gonna end up gargling it.
It might be summer as well, and he's under a big, big window. It's rough. That is rough.
Very rough.
But he's actually waking up by a radio report that says a missing college freshman is reported to be a victim of Spider-Man. And he wakes up and says, "Hey, that's me."
Probably should lay low, mate.
Someone mentioned me. And the radio is actually coming out of the arse pocket of this painter who's just underneath painting the sign.
Oh, mate, that's so sad. They're like this is literally rock bottom.
This is pretty, it's pretty much rock bottom. But the radio report says only one voice so far has been raised in the web spinner's defense. That is Air Force Colonel John Jameson, who supports Spider-Man's innocence. But the question still remains, why did the masked mystery man cause the disappearance of a young Peter Parker?
If only there was some sort of photo of Peter Parker kicking about somewhere.
No one has a photo of him.
So like a missing poster, like a fucking milk carton or something would do the trick.
What if they did a reconstruction of Peter Parker's face? Because they're always so bad.
They're terrible, aren't they? The thing is, our local police force put them on Facebook just to have the piss taken out of it. Swear to God. There's this geezer that was posted earlier, man. He literally looked like a lion. And it's only the weirdos.
Some of them actually look like their faces on a box of cereal. Like something that you've drawn to meet the proportions of the cereal box.
Fucking like Snap, Crackle and Pop.
Yeah. The famous Forest Crispy, the innocent Forest Crispy mascot. I don't want to, we can't accuse him of any crimes on this podcast.
Those elves ain't doing fuck all to you, man. You leave their names out of this.
But Spider-Man, he crawls off and says, "Colonel Jameson thinks I'm innocent, so maybe he knows more about me than I know myself." And then he thinks to himself, why does that name Peter Parker ring a bell? And then he swings past Aunt May's hospital where she's lying in bed.
So rough. Oh, man, and she's saying his name in a unconscious state as well. he's Dr. Edgar Allan Poe.
That is Dr. Bromwell, of course, yeah. Coming out with the worst case scenario. Coming out with the worst case scenario. Her best medicine will be knowing that her nephew is safe and well, when he probably knows the nephew's dead.
It's like she's got a cold and he's like, it's terminal.
Well, and your nose hurt. That is definitely cancer.
Rough.
Definitely. There's no way it's not, I'm sorry. And the best treatment is you're going to have to go and kill yourself. That's like Dr. Bromwell's prescription.
he doesn't say anything. He just leaves an overly large bottle of pills on the table and just sort of like looks at it and then looks back at her.
Oh, that's awful. Just slams down whiskey and some fucking Zannies.
I'm not gonna say what, but you know what to do.
No, it doesn't even say anything. Just leave the cards in the room and walk out.
He just puts his hand over her hand for a second and just nods. Oh, right. You know what? We talk about like these sort of things, but like that is not the way forward.
No, I mean, no, it is. Like, if Dr. Bromwell's suggesting that, you say no.
Yeah. You suck him right in the mouth and say, I fancy like having a second opinion.
Unless you aren't May, because she actually can't do anything other than what he suggests.
But the thing is, you look at Dr. Bromwell's face in that fucking panel, and he looks like he's wishing for it. He's like, yes, yes. With all the shadow on it as well.
So catching up with Spider-Man, he's just swung past that hospital room, straight through the window of Colonel Jameson's apartment, I believe it is. And the first thing he says as he swings through the window and, you know, alarms them, is don't panic.
I'm fucking glad he said that, because that's going to stop me having a heart attack of a man jumping into the window
after like, after he's come through,
like the 37th floor of a tower.
You say don't panic before I start panicking. You've already panicked me. You've already upset me.
Jameson's just there, like, ah, a fan of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, I see.
Have you got your towel, friend?
Actually, shout out to another one of our associates on the outpost.
Beware of the leopard, yeah, who have come to the end of their run soon, because there's only so much Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy you can actually talk about before you hit the end.
Because if I'm correct, they're only doing it via the actual book, aren't they?
Yeah, it's A to Z, so anything that's A to Z, isn't it? If you, when you hit Z, you're done.
See, if only they picked a book which is still ongoing and possibly has several spin-offs.
It's hundreds of spin-offs. Hundreds, Brad. Fucking hundreds of them. I've seen the timeline and it gets fucking
which one?
Weird.
Which timeline? Whose timeline? There's many.
I'm telling you, we're sticking to one, and I'm just staying on Dr. Spidey's path, man. That's the only path I trust.
Seems to know what he's talking about.
But when we get into doing fucking team-ups and everything, I think we're going to have to commit and just kill one of them. Just like, no. Stay away.
Yeah, I can get that. I can go with that.
So Spider-Man comes flying through this window, says, don't panic. Then he comes out of it. I need your help. Then he screams, I've lost my memory. That's in very big, big letters. It's in bold.
How do you reckon he's saying that?
Listen, don't panic, don't panic. I don't know who I am. I don't know what I've done. I've lost my memory.
I don't know, man, because the memory's so bold. It's like, I've lost my memory.
There's Captain Stacy going, you've got some explaining to do.
You've got some explaining to do.
better level with us, mister. And he says, I've got fucking amnesia. I don't know. And then they say, well, hang on, sir. What about you teaming up with Dr. Octopus, you naughty little spider? And then he says, I can't explain it. I don't know. And then shit gets worse because Gwen Stacy, of course, Peter Parker's kind of love interest, the daughter of George, well, Captain Stacy. I think his name's George. Is it George? But it's just Captain Stacy.
Well, he is now.
She bursts in with the news that Spider-Man has probably kidnapped Peter Parker. Then she sees that Spider-Man's in there and starts swinging at him.
She's a brave girl, man.
She goes for him, and Pete, well, obviously Spider-Man and Pete, grabs her arm and says, I don't know how I feel about this. I know her, and her perfume is making my heart pound.
Ah, they do say that, like, if you have a sense of smell going whilst you're trying to remember something, it actually helps boost the links in your neurons to actually help you remember it later on. So, for example, if you're taking a test, you should chew, like, peppermint gum or something like that, so you can remember it better later on.
Yeah, well, he says the perfume's making my heart pound, and her fists are going to make his head pound in a minute. Really, really gunning. He flees in absolute agony because he's feeling all these, like, you know, these feelings of love and belonging, but he doesn't know where to put them. He doesn't know why that boy.
Just a very, I can imagine a very William Shatner-esque, like, oh, my heart, oh, pounding.
And she slowly crumples to the floor.
Yeah. No, not even slowly crumples, just sort of like moving away, like monologuing.
Well, Spider-Man to this point has been a very kind of attractive hero in the eyes of younger people, like Flash Thompson loves him. And I'm assuming he's got a bunch of cheerleaders and stuff in high schools and universities across the country. He's pretty popular, but she's seen him firsthand and he must stink to the high heavens.
Oh yeah, especially in this sort of situation.
Like, his suit will be soiled. You know, under the pits, there's sweat there, there's water. It's horrible. He hasn't washed it.
I think Spider-Man's a very hygienic hero most of the time, to be fair. Considering
he's not rough sleeping, like.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's proper rough sleeping, man. And you know there's been other hobos up there, like Dirty Mike and the boys, that have been up there in the past. And like, they wouldn't have held back. They just would have pissed over everything.
Well, Spider-Man flees, but the troubles that he's facing, they're going to be more real than his feelings, mate, because Kazar is on his tail.
I'm watching this now, and like, Kazar is literally just like, CrossFit, bruh.
Street gym, bruh. Street Real gym. Doesn't need a membership.
You know, you're waiting for the bus. It's 5 minutes. You could do like a little workout. It's the time.
Yeah, if you think Spider-Man can get around the city, Kazar is fucking actually swinging around the city.
That's incredible when you consider he is actually just a man with a rope.
He stole a bloke. That's not even his rope. He stole it off a bloke.
Man's got inheritance and couldn't go to B&Q before he decided to take down the fuck, man.
There's this bloke, obviously, on the top of a building. He's got a rope and a grappling hook and he's painting stuff. But why has he got a fucking grappling hook? Why has he got a grappling hook? What's he going
to
do with it?
It looks like a construction site, to be fair.
But he's got a grappling hook anyway. And he's obviously, you know, oh, I've got to come in and work on a Sunday. Tough day, 5 a.m. start. Here we are. Just one more thing to do. Just got this trusty old grappling hook. To
but at least I got out of going to church with the kids and wife. Am I right, Dave? Dave's nowhere to be seen. It's just like the man just screaming as he's been pushed off the side for his grappling rope.
Kazar's taking this, you know. Kazar's here for socialism. I'm taking it. That's not how it works. You're just stealing.
That's a chill of you, bro.
Mail a bill to Bernie Sanders, bro. I don't care.
We got to tear these walls down.
Yeah, he takes it and he says, I'm going to give it back. I'll give it back when I'm done. I don't think he's going to. I honestly don't think they're going to put a panel of that happening in.
Not at all.
Really, that's a theft. That's a felony, Kazar. You know, I know you're new to the country, but that is a... You can go to jail for that.
I like how he's just still in his suit trousers. Like, really think about this. He's wearing a green suit before. And he's still wearing green trousers now. So that means that he's in literal suit trousers. Like dress. In America, dress pants. And
slacks.
It's slacks. And he's literally swinging around New York. Barefoot. Bare chested. In slacks.
And he's actually using his nose to sniff out Spider-Man. And that's an easy thing to do today of all days. When he stinks that bad.
just anyone else who slept rough in train stage would just stink a special brew. Special brew of broken dreams.
Well, Spider-Man is chasing some information about his identity, which has led him straight into a corner, mate, because he's heading to the darkest place of all, the Daily Bugle. He thinks, because he's been the subject of so many reports by the Bugle, that J. Jonah Jameson will know some information about him. He swings in, and of course, Jameson gives him the spiel. Before Spider-Man says, well, I've actually lost my memory, so I need your help, Jameson slaps his hands together, starts rubbing them. If he doesn't remember that Octopus was his enemy, then he won't remember anything Jameson said, and this is a big chance for him. So he sits Spider-Man down and says, I've always been a massive fan, but I've always preferred you without your mask.
He's such a dirty bastard.
And he's there just literally rubbing his hands. It's fucking working. Yes. Yes.
He's literally eating his cigar.
I won't need any Viagra tonight.
The old pump, the old love muscle pumping.
It's fine. He doesn't need to press that Hulk Hogan button.
Oh, we don't talk about that, man.
His dick skin button.
Oh.
But just as Spider-Man, of course, is unraveling his mask to reveal his face as Peter Parker, who is the freelance photographer of Jameson, Kazar bursts through the window. I found you, bro. Hide and seek, bro. Oh, it's my favorite.
Yo, you didn't put soy in my latte.
The Jameson steps up to Kazar saying, you fucking...
Is it literally Jameson's like, Kazar!
He actually grabs him. He's like, what are you doing?
He's never seen so much hatred in Jameson's eyes, man.
Kazar's really confused because he's saying, well, you told me to catch him, bro. You said he was evil.
Just like, what is it you want me to do? I mean, I'm all about the yin-yang, but this is too much yin-yang.
And then Spider-Man just hits him.
Fair fucks. this is the first time that Spider-Man has actually done the first move where it's just like, this guy is clearly a threat. I'm going to make the first move.
But you can see in the first panel that he's like leering in from the back. The second one, he just fucking bombs him. There's no need. It was actually like the fight was being diffused.
Does Spider-Man 2 step in?
Kazar goes, You hit Kazar, bro. You hit me.
No.
No one hits Kazar.
But Kazar dodges, and then they go into a full-on scrap, and Jameson's tearing his hair out, and the fight goes into the streets and then onto Central Park. The fight actually, Spider-Man knocks Kazar flat out of a fucking window. And thinks I didn't want to kill him, and he's actually falling out.
Oh, fucked. Could you imagine if it was just done like that? Like, you know how Batman has his one rule where he doesn't kill anyone? Does it still count if you do it by accident?
He fucking punched him out of a window.
Just like, all you hear is just like, bro.
I didn't mean it, bro.
Unchill.
Follow me on SoundCloud, bro.
Collab.
Don't know, he's falling. And actually, his saber-toothed tiger back at the apartment senses a danger and heads out to help him. And obviously, he's burst through the fucking apartment door, head down the lobby onto the streets.
Mate, that is a true bromance.
But Kazar is saved with a
grapple. Wait. What if this is Simba? Rewind back to when Kraven fucking like bodied that furry. What if that furry was like, I'm not taking this anymore, and then like he managed to get a super fit CrossFit trainer in Kazar and fucking made him pump iron on the beach in the Savage Lands. He's like, you know where they get those massive tires.
How dare you? You say that about David. You know, he's not David anymore. I'd prefer it if you could call him by his persona, bruh. Sabu. I think he'd prefer that as well, but he's not gonna, he can't speak anymore.
He's just a chill dude wanting to live the life of an animal.
Let him live. Let him be.
I must say, I've wanted to do that many times. Get out of this rat race.
I'm here for Sabu. Let him be. Let him live. Let him be the man. Because he's clearly fucking loving it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
This is real now, isn't it? He's not even a fucking saber tooth anymore. I can't.
No, he's Dave.
Can never unsee
he's
that.
He's Dave the furrer.
So Kazar saves himself, of course, with the grappling hook and flies up to beat up Spider-Man, who has run out of fucking web fluid because he doesn't remember what it does.
He can't remember to switch out the cartridges.
He actually says, he goes to spray the web fluid and take down Kazar. He's like, now fucking what? I'm pressing the doohickey and nothing happens.
There's a doohickey!
He's actually turned into a fully old man, hasn't he? Like, well, I'm pressing the doohickey and nothing's happening.
See, I don't know if this is anyone else's old man, but like, whenever there's something going wrong with the TV, does your dad just sort of go, oh, Christ, what's going on here now?
No.
It's just a Steve thing, isn't it?
My dad, he does go quite red, but he urgently looks for it. He silently and urgently looks for a resolution.
We are also talking about a man that once ate cake off of a Bluetooth speaker.
Yes, that's my dad.
Fucking legend. Proud.
Well, Kazar ends up with Spider-Man in the ankle lock, takes him down in the body scissors. They take the fight down to the floor with Kazar practically riding Spider-Man down all the way, trying to choke him out with the body scissors. Spider-Man gets the elbow, they hit the floor and start running away from each other into Central Park, where they have a grapple. Spider-Man gets a big punch on Kazar. He's talking down these fucking jungle hunters before. That is a punch, Brad.
Mate, that's a legit uppercut, that is, man. You can see like Kazar's chin go all the way back, man. Rock'em sock'em robot style.
But of course, as Kazar is taken down, Zabu jumps in and fucking take Spider-Man straight out.
do you reckon Kazar has raised Zabu vegan?
No, you can hurt the meat, you just can't eat it.
It's all about energy, bro.
Well, Zabu unfortunately takes Spider-Man into a lake.
Oh yeah, notorious where cats love to swim.
Zabu exits the lake. Spider-Man doesn't.
Oh, God. Spider-Man's gone.
And Kazar's actually fuming at this fucking saber-toothed tiger now, saying, I didn't desire your aid, bro. This was me. This was my win. No, we're sharing it. No. This is my win. And Kazar jumps into the lake where the body of Spider-Man is choking out at the bottom, picks it up and walks out of the lake and says that the battle has ended. Forever, bro. It's over. And it's done.
The energy's just gone, man.
It's over, man. That's the end of the issue, 57.
That is an abrupt end, man.
I'm pretty sure it's going to carry on straight.
Yeah, of course. I'm gonna say the what was it? The hundreds of spin-offs, multiple timelines, ongoing comic tells me that it's still going.
Yeah, pretty much, pretty damn much. But Brad, that is the end of issue 57. Swinging Through Spider-Man will carry on, of course, with issue 58 next week when we find out if that Sabretooth Tiger didn't kill Spider-Man.
It definitely didn't.
It definitely didn't. But we'll find out if it did kill him or not. And how are you feeling about that?
I'm just feeling like real chill, right, bro? Honestly, I just think it's about finding out who you really are inside and then just working on yourself.
Sabu, can you get the smelling salts so we can wake up our masked friend over here? Is that cool? Okay, no, you have a rest. I've got some incense. I can do it myself.
you know, Kazar's the geezer that comes to every fucking college party with the acoustic guitar.
Bongos, man.
Bongos, even worse.
Is New York, New York? Is it a legal state? Are we smoking marijuana here, guys, or are we saving it?
I mean, I'm cool either way.
I mean, I'm usually in Denver, you know, Colorado. It's legal there.
Is that where the savage lands are? Colorado.
No. It's where the Denver Broncos are.
Yeah, the savage lands. I would have said if it was Detroit, then maybe.
Yeah, they got no fucking water there in one of the places, have they? But no, of course, there was Spider-Man sleeping rough. That's obviously a real issue people face, and it's shit. And they're not Spider-Men, so it's not really like a fucking one day outing.
Nah.
So do think about that between all the jokes. Yeah, it's always worth thinking.
Do you reckon we should put something in the...
Yeah, there's loads of things you can look up. I think in the UK there's shelter and stuff like that. That people do actually, you know, and it's people like you and me, so most of the time. It's not like people who just... quote unquote doing drugs or fucking about with money. Sometimes shit happens and you are on the streets.
It's very easy to slip into that situation. Like, all it takes is, especially young people, it's very, very easy to have an argument with parents, have a falling out, and then just wind up in unfortunate circumstances.
And remember, we do, you know, you, there is a thing like such as bad landlords that exist who can evict you at any moment's notice, and then you have quite literally nowhere to go. Stuff like that can happen. You know, these things do happen to anyone. Well, you can be rich, poor, you can end up without a home very quickly.
Very, very quickly.
So always bear that in mind and keep a foot for your fellow human being. It is always funny to joke about stuff like this when it's happening to Spider-Man. It just happens to real people as well, and they aren't Spider-Man.
Of course.
So, yeah, that was issue 57. I hope you all enjoyed it. You can find us at Spidey Podcast. Give us a shout out. It'd be lovely to hear from you. We always like that. If you liked the podcast, please leave a review. It's been a bit of a weird one, up and down, but I've enjoyed today's episode. Always enjoy recording with you, Brad. And that's
man,
it from me.
You are the yin to my yang.
Couldn't have put it better myself. I'll sign off on that one. Goodbye, folks.
See you later.